talk about a passage today from Acts, which is, as you know, the conversion of Paul. There are people who have lost their faith because they believe that Paul was just having an epileptic fit. I can think of one very famous athlete who many years ago was famous as a Christian. And he was told by people from BBC, no, Paul was just having a funny turn. And so it's important that we think through why we take this scripture seriously. Do we just say, like so many people today, it's just an odd, strange, medieval way of looking at the world, and we are now modern and secular enlightened? I want to tell you some stories which I think confirm very powerfully what Paul experienced. And I don't think he was having a funny turn. I've read this book called Imagine Heaven. I would encourage you to read this book. It's one of the most faith-building books I've ever read. And it has some quite astonishing stories. And I'm going to tell you a few of them today, of people who had incredibly powerful experiences while they were technically speaking dead. And if you go to countries, there are places where many people die, and because of advanced technology and medicine, people die and then they are resuscitated. Are you with me? Do you get the picture? They're dead for say 10 or 15 minutes. And John Burke tells us about these stories. I want to tell you a story about a woman called Carla, who was blind from birth. And she was clinically died during surgery. And after about 10 minutes, the surgeon smacked her, that's what they do, smacked her very hard on her chest, and she came back to life. And she reported, wait for this, but while she was clinically dead, she could see perfectly. And she described everything in the operating theatre exactly as it had happened. She described the nurse accurately. The doctor, the anaesthetist, absolutely staggered. She was blind, then she stopped being blind, and then she went back to being blind. The Lancet is a prestigious medical journal. It published an account of a patient who had a cardiac arrest and stopped breathing. I love the detail. A tube was placed in the man's mouth, and it was noted by the nurses that he had upper dentures. Upper dentures. The nurse removed the dentures, and they were placed in a rather obscure drawer. And then the woman was revived, resuscitated. And weeks later, she said to the nurse, "Do you know, my dentures, I miss them. Where are they?" "Well, I know where they are." And the nurse says, "No, I forgot about this." And she pointed to a particular drawer and she says, "I saw you put the dentures, my dentures, in that drawer. Could you go and get them for me?" The nurse went over and found the dentures. And these events astonished the medical team. One of the most amazing stories in this book, do read it, is the story of an American boy who was almost four. His name is Colton Burpo, and his father wrote a long book about him. He had an amazing experience while clinically dead. He described accurately after what his parents were doing in another part of the hospital while he was clinically dead. And Colton was just almost four. He described going to heaven. He said he was comforted by Jesus. And later he said that Jesus was riding on a great big white horse. He also said he played with a friendly lion. Remember, he's barely four. And in heaven, a young girl came up to him and said, "I'm your sister, but I have no name." And he said, no, I don't have a sister. And when he was resuscitated, weeks after, he told his mother this. And she started to cry. She said, "I had a miscarriage. It's incredible to hear about my daughter." Ponder the fact that Colton Burpo, I know it's a strange name, isn't it? So I apologize for that. He could not read. He knew nothing about the Bible. And yet he described accurately details from Scripture, and especially from the book of Revelation. Now, Martin Luther, the reformer, thought the book of Revelation was a load of rubbish. I dispute that. You read Revelation 21 and 22. It has phenomenal detail about the future kingdom on earth. Another 8-year-old boy called Brad was also blind from birth. And he had similar experiences. Blind, not blind, blind again. And he described accurately the walls of the New Jerusalem, exactly backing up Revelation 21. A woman named Maria was rushed to hospital with a serious heart attack. And after resuscitation, she described her out-of-the-body experience. She said she had traveled outside the hospital where she observed a tennis shoe on the third-story window ledge of the hôpital. She described the shoe in great detail and its position. The shoe was a man's shoe, dark blue with a wear mark over the little shoe, and a shoelace tucked under the heel. And a researcher interested in this whole area put a big shift in by going window to window and found the shoe. Guess what? It was exactly as Maria had described it. Now, I hope you find these stories fascinating, because they are fascinating. But they build our faith. You don't have to believe that what happened to Paul was just an epileptic fit, just a funny turn. But something powerful happened to him, because Jesus, the King of Kings, was speaking to him. My next story is not from this book. It's about a Hindu Maharishi who became a believer because of two dreams. Ravi, an evangelist living in India, had a dream. And in the dream, he saw a man who had a white beard, an orange robe, and a turban on his head. And Ravi was told to meet this man in a marketplace he knew. And then Ravi and his two friends found a man with a white beard, turban, and saffron clothes, exactly as had been told to them by God. The bearded man with the turban was delighted and greeted them. "I know who you are," he said. This man was a Maharishi, the Hindu equivalent of an Anglican bishop. And the Maharishis are not allowed to listen to Christian evangelists, but this Maharishi was very keen to talk. Because a few days previously, the Maharishi had a dream where Jesus appeared to him and told him to go to this particular temple on this precise day. And he shows him a picture of Ravi. Needless to say, Ravi had the Maharishi's undivided attention, which I hope you will understand. And Ravi said to this man, "Jesus, well, how would you ring me up? How would you contact me through the telephone system?" And Ravi explained, "You have to have, don't you, the right telephone number. Because if you don't have the right telephone number, you can't get through to a person. I want to tell you how you can get through to God the Father." Jesus is like that telephone number. And the Maharishi was agog because of the dreams he had and the dreams of this man. And he became a Christian on the spot. I think you understand why. because he had good reasons to believe that Ravi was speaking the truth about Jesus. And thus, another story from India. I've mentioned this story before in my sermons. It's an incredible story about a woman called Nagama, who was a young girl who lived in the Dalit untouchable community in Kerala in India. In India today, there are 160 million people called untouchables. They are believed to be cursed from birth. And Nagama was from this group of people. Her father was a sorcerer who practiced black magic. These things do happen still today. And Nagama was taught by her dad to worship snake idols. And when Nagama was 12, a snake bit her as she was feeding it milk. And she began acting, Nagama began acting like a snake, swaying from side to side. It opens up Psalm 115 for you. And she began to work as the snake goddess. People asked her to visit their homes. They wanted her to perform black magic ceremonies to bring blessings to their loved ones and the destruction of their enemies. And then one day, an evangelist gave her a Bible tract and told her about Jesus. Nagama's father, the sorcerer, was extremely angry about this. He was very, very irate. He confronted the missionaries and told them to follow his daughter, the snake goddess, not Jesus. She is the true God, not Jesus. In 2013, I like the detail, bear with me, she was performing a magic ceremony in the home of a local family when a voice she heard ordered her to sacrifice a child. Read the Old Testament. There's a lot of this in the Old Testament. Nagama became agitated and she immediately stopped the puja, the magical ceremony, and she left the house. And when she went to sleep that night, because she had just been praying that God would speak to her, is it right to be a snake worshiper? And that very night, Jesus appeared to her and said to her, "My daughter, you are dear to me." He said, "I am your Lord and God. I give you the treasure of peace and eternal life." And then he quoted from John's Gospel, Jesus. He said to her, "I am the gate. Those who come in by me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes in only to steal, to kill, and destroy. I have come in order that you might have life, life in all its fullness." It's a major theme of the Gospel of John, John chapter 10. Nagama, the snake worshipper, recognized the man in her vision as Jesus. And she knelt down beside her bed and gave her life to Jesus. And in the days that followed, she was very brave because she smashed all the snake idols in the snake temple. And her mother and her father were most angry and irate. Begged her, "Come back to the true faith. Come back to the snake faith." But she said, "No, I will not, because I have met Jesus. Like Paul the Apostle, I have heard Jesus speaking to me last night." They tied her to a tree and began to beat her. She says, "I will never turn back to the snake idols because I know that Jesus Christ is Lord." And then she got baptized and she changed her name from Nagama, which means snake worshiper, to Maria. One of my absolute favourite stories, which always has me in tears, is the story of the great, great missionary Sundar Singh. He was born in about 1889. He was a Sikh, and he was attending a Christian school. And he blamed the Christian God for all his troubles, particularly the death of his mother. He would throw muck, forgive me, in the real world, he was throwing muck at his teachers. Unpleasant things, or you, as the French call it. And he then made the ultimate gesture of scorn to the Christian faith. He built a fire And page by page, he tore up a Bible and he burned it. He said, although I believed that I had done a very good deed by burning the Bible, I felt deeply unhappy. Within 3 days, Sundar Singh could bear his misery, his agony, no longer. Late at night, on this day, December the 19th, 1903, we have it that precise, he rose and prayed that God would reveal himself if he really existed. Otherwise, he said, I will throw myself in front of the train which passed very near to his house. And for 7 hours, Sundar Singh prayed, oh God, if there is a God, reveal yourself to me tonight. The next train was due at 5 o'clock in the morning, and he was going to go down there and hurl himself in front of a train. Suddenly, the room was filled with a glow. A man appeared before him, and Sundar heard a voice say, how long will you deny me? I died for you. I have given my life for you. And he saw the man's hands pierced by nails. In that moment, he recognized Jesus and gave his life to Christ. Sundar Singh, in my view, having studied many, many missionaries' lives, is one of the most outstanding missionaries ever to have lived. He went to Tibet on 20 different occasions, meeting all kinds of spirit worship, paganism, and he brought many people to Christ. He was an extraordinary man. We don't know how he died. Just a few years ago, I was talking to a friend, and he told me he had a friend who had an experience of this. He said, I want to meet that man. Went for a coffee. This was a young man, about 20, from Morocco. I said, how did you find Jesus? He said, I was on the point of joining ISIS. But I started to pray and seek God. And Jesus appeared to me, not once, but twice, in 2 dreams, and said, who do people say I am? I went, I read the New Testament, and I discovered who Jesus is. And that's why I didn't join ISIS. Finally, in conclusion, I want to tell you about an experience I had when I was living in the colonies, Canada. It's a joke, that. Please don't come up to me, it's a joke. I was driving with my mum and dad in a place not far from Toronto, yeah? And I really wanted to get back to my flat and sort my mum and dad out, and so what I did is I got my foot on the accelerator and I banged a nail through it. I was driving about 80 miles an hour. I was a bit of a lad in those days. I thought nothing of a glass of wine at Christmas. I thought nothing of it. And as I was driving along, I couldn't stop thinking about a book I'd read when I first became a Christian about a wonderful Russian soldier called Sergei Kurdukov. Sergei, talking like this. Yeah, very cool. And this man tells of an incident in his life, and as a Christian, he was driving along, he felt warned by God to slow down. Yeah, slow down, slow down. Went really slowly, and then, about 5 miles ahead, there was a massive, massive accident with loads of people dead. And he realized that God, through Jesus Christ, had been warning him about this. I had the same feeling. I couldn't stop thinking about Sergei Kurdukov. And that wonderful, wonderful story of his life. Incredible ministry, incredible miracles he saw in the Soviet Union. Don't forget that name, Sergei Kurdukov. As I was driving along, I thought, I'm going to heed this warning. Could be from God. So I went into the slow lane, as he did, and I began to drive very, very slowly. We're talking 40 miles an hour. From 80 to 40. Slow. And as I was driving along, I began to think, I could hear something ringing. I began to think to myself, something's going to happen to me, and I've got to be a really good lad. Not go 80, but go 40. And I could easily, just then, my father had an epileptic fit and he attacked me from the back of the car. He swung his legs, oh, he played rugby. He swung his legs over and smacked into my head. And because I was driving slowly, I was able to just slow down here, go into the slow lane. And I said, wow, God, you were warning me, weren't you? Never in the whole of my life. I've been in quite a few cars. I've been in, you know, Corvettes and Lamborghinis. I've never, ever had this experience of somebody attacking me from the back. Not once. And yet on that very day, I felt God was speaking to me through his grace and his mercy. My dad attacked me, and I was able to move on. Don't ever forget that part of the Lord's Prayer. Deliver us from evil. I pray that every day. And sometimes if you pray that, God will warn you. What I want to say to you today is don't be like the scoffers. Don't be like the mockers. Don't be like people who say, oh, Paul was just having a funny charm, having an epileptic fit, having an emotional break. No, do not listen to that. Remember the millions of people who have experienced Jesus Christ speaking to them in dreams, in visions, in near-death experiences. Ponder the fact that little Colton could barely read. He couldn't read, and yet he saw Jesus. He played with him, and Jesus said, I am who I say I am. When you read the Bible, don't be the mocker. Don't be the sneerer, but put your faith in Jesus, because he is the true Lord of the universe. Let's pray. Quoting from Hebrews chapter 3 here, today, do not harden your heart. Incredible passage from Hebrews. Do not harden your heart, but consider what you have heard about Jesus Christ. Do not sneer, do not mock, but put your faith in Jesus Christ, who died for you, who defeated the devil, who will come again to judge the living and the dead, and raise us bodily to life. Put your faith in him, and not in false gods. Amen.